that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, a different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Before we get started, I just want to thank all those who voted for You Talking to Me. Just in case anyone doesn't know, the show won the Best Spoken Word category for the 2011 CJAM Jammy Awards, which were held just a few nights ago on the 1st. And the ceremonial festivities were great. It was a fun night. So I really appreciate all your votes, and we'll continue to supply you with an incredible as possible variety of guests on this show. And today is no exception. Bugs can be a boy's best friend when you're a kid, but a girl, an all-grown-up one? Natalie Litt has been rearing Bugs for over a decade. Founded in 2000, Best Bug and Feeders Incorporated is the largest Canadian breeder of top-quality feeders. They care for crickets, mealworms, superworms, rats, and mice. Mealworms. If those get placed on her dinner table, I might be a little freaked out. We'll bug her all about these things. Natalie, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks
for
having me.
What a wild topic, sort of, here. How in the world did you get started in bug breeding?
I guess when you're put in a position where you lose your job, you have to kind of brainstorm and figure out what you can do. And my husband lost his job about 12 years ago. And he's always been into reptiles, so He knows a little bit about the business, and he knew that most of the insects were being imported from the States. So we started breeding in our backyard with in a portable trailer.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we went from one transport trailer to two to three, and then they kicked us out of of our residential property. So we bought 50 acres, and we've just built it from there.
Wow, so it's a family affair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, what type of education did you go through to do this, or is it you're pretty much self-taught? And I know the University of Guelph has been helpful, so, you know, how have they contributed?
Yeah, well, it's just self-taught, pretty much. I mean, Rob, he bred his own insects for his collection when he was younger. So he's self-taught, not on a commercial level like we do at the moment, but, I mean, it's a lot of tweaking and trial and error. And then, from the University of Guelph and the Toronto Zoo, they've been quite helpful as well. So, yeah, a lot of trial and error.
So you have kids as well. Are they into the bug farm thing?
When we make them.
Oh, when you make them, okay. Well, usually kids are, and you have boys.
Yeah, three boys and a girl.
Three boys and a girl, okay.
Yeah, they look at it as a task, you know. It's not too exciting to them. Although my, our daughter, who's four, loves the rats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so when you're a little guy, usually you're, you know, you love playing with bugs and everything, and your mom's like, oh, why do you bring that in the house, and those kinds of things. But, I mean, these guys are growing up around these things.
Yeah.
So it's maybe a little different for them.
Yeah, it's not so much the bugs that are interesting to them as the reptiles. They love their snakes and the bearded dragons and the chameleons. So we have a collection here. I used to breed over 100 reptiles myself.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're more into the reptiles as opposed to the bugs and you know, what we breed.
So what's a bug farm like? What are some of the daily activities you have to go through there?
Well, we have five full-time employees that you know, look after everything.
Wow.
So for myself, I'm pretty much in the office all the time, and Rob, he does the crickets. We're trying to get them back up and going again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty much just they're feeding, watering, you know, harvesting and preparing for packing. We get up at 4 o'clock every morning and we, you know, we pack our orders and ship them out. So that's a big chore there for myself and Rob to do that.
Before we get into the actual bugs and insects and even rodents, I guess, I want to talk about your Canadian-wide distribution because you distribute to some pretty big places. But before so, I just want to ask you, as far as rearing feeders and bugs and insects and things like that, in farming these things or you know, breeding them, what do they eat?
They eat like pretty much like a chick starter, like a chick mash, what you'd give to, you know, baby chicks or... But there's, you know, we add a few other ingredients in there, like, you know, blood meal or a little bit more molasses. And for the mice and the rats, it's a little bit more specialized, like a Purina blend.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably a lot of people don't realize. I mean, they realize that reptiles and rodents and things feed on insects, but what do the insects eat, right?
So. Yeah, and they have to eat something, you know, healthy, just like us. The human body, right? What
sure.
You are what you eat. So if you want your reptiles to be healthy, you have to feed them a healthy insect.
And will they live longer feeding them better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I guess that's important for you as, you know, for your business.
Yeah.
So what are some of the types of places you supply to? Zoos and so forth?
Yeah, we supply the Toronto Zoo, the African Lion Safari, some rehabilitation projects like through the Wildlife Foundation. A lot of reptile breeders, a lot of snake breeders, you know, they need the consistency of rat supply or mouse supply.
Mm-hmm.
Some soft-billed bird breeders. We supply actually some fish wholesalers. I guess there's fish. I don't know much about the fish market, but there are fish that eat the superworms especially. And a lot of, like the pet stores, they supply, you know, because I think now, you know, reptiles are also a selection in the pet stores. It's not just your dog, cat anymore, and fish.
It's, right, sure.
The reptile department is quite big if you go to any pet store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what we who we supply, and a lot of distributors as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we breed them and we distribute them to our benefit. But then there's also a lot of distributors that have been around longer than we have, who've been importing from the States for that period of time. But then we've kind of gotten that business.
So you supply the suppliers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are other suppliers and sources around. How has the competition been, you know, since you guys have started? And
well, it's gotten a little bit tougher because when we started, we were the only superworm breeder. That's how we started the business, was breeding the superworms. And, you know, people catch on pretty quick, and the market has grown substantially in the past 10 years. And, you know, people have started doing it because it's something you can start in your basement, and, you know, any Joe Blow kind of guy starts it, but then they knock the price down, you know, they get into it and they see that it's more work than they had anticipated. So they start
sure.
dumping, you know, these bugs off for a lot less than what you're selling them for. So it's kind of brought the pricing down on them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have to just focus on your own business. You can't spend too much energy focusing on what other people do. I mean, we've had to put a website up and, you know, and do a little bit more advertising, but, you know, you learn, right? You learn. We're not really, we don't know too much about advertising or being competitive, but we're learning, so.
Right, and it's important in this day and age, I think, and with the computer and social networking for your business and things like that. How have you normally advertised? You
how
know,
have
with
we?
I mean, without the use of the internet, how would you normally advertise?
you know, honestly, we've never had to advertise.
So it's always been like a word of mouth.
Yeah, type of thing? It's okay. Always been word of mouth, and yeah, it's been quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, now we've had to get a website up and going.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how are bugs shipped anyway? How are they delivered? I mean, they have to breathe, and yeah. How do you ship them by? You know, Canada Post or?
Yeah, well, we ship them. We use WestJet because we do ship all over Canada,
mm-hmm.
East Coast, West Coast. So we use WestJet. We typically pack them in lots of 1,000, which we weigh. We don't count them.
Right, okay.
Then we do send Canada Post, you know, locally for smaller orders. And then we have a delivery driver, a full-time driver that delivers 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivers, we go as far north as Orillia.
Okay.
And as far south as Windsor.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You can't go any further south, can
no.
you?
No. Nope. Just to Point Pelee.
Yeah. So when they're shipped, though, I mean, are they in some type of container where they can actually breathe? Or?
Yeah, they're just cardboard boxes. They can breathe okay. quite well. And in the summer, we have to screen the boxes because of the heat.
Right, okay.
But in the winter, we don't screen the boxes.
Is it normal to lose a certain number of insects being shipped? Or
They cannibalize.
Like, oh, they do? Okay.
The crickets, they cannibalize.
Wow.
The worms, no, not really. The rodents, no. But it's pretty much the crickets that cannibalize, so you always give like an overcount in the box
because
mm-hmm. you don't want to get a call from somebody saying that your counts were bad, you know.
I wanted to ask you about the Loggerhead Shrike Rehabilitation Project
yeah.
through the Wildlife Foundation, and you supply, is it bird?
Yes, yeah, it's a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Loggerhead Shrike, they're up at Dyer's Bay up near probably, you know where Tobermory is?
Sure.
Yeah, it's up near Tobermory, and they're there probably about 6 months of the year, and then the other 6 months they're in London.
Okay.
Is there wintering grounds in London? And they take a lot of mice, hopper mice.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been supplying them for probably about 6 years.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite interesting. You learn a lot, you know, on how they rehabilitate the birds and mm-hmm. set them free and how they count their fledglings. And yeah, it's quite an interesting thing.
Do you also supply non-commercial users?
Such as
somebody that, you know, owns a reptile or things like that. Can they buy from you?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep, yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, like especially the breeders. I mean, because we breed, they can get them at a better price. You know, we encourage quantity.
Right.
And that's how we try to sell. You know, if you get 100 at a time, you get a quantity.
But you'll still sell to somebody that has a, I don't know, what kind of a, just somebody that owns a snake
like
or somebody
a bearded,
that owns
yeah,
a...
Yeah, yeah. As long as we don't have to go out of our way, you know,
right,
if
okay.
it's on route or if mm-hmm, I can send sure. a Canada Post and they pay for the shipping, yeah, no problem.
And let's maybe give out some contact information for, you know, anybody or possibly anybody that knows somebody who might be interested in being supplied, possibly.
Yeah, sure. Phone number, good enough, or
sure,
website?
Sure, phone number and website are both great.
Yeah, phone number 519-986-1996 or www.bestbugandfeeders.com.
Okay, we'll give that out again later.
Okay, great.
I wanted to ask you, what is possibly the insect or rodent that's most demanded of your company? Is there something in particular that you really sell a lot of?
Yeah, I'd say the crickets are the most demanding, but they're also the most difficult to breed.
Are they?
Yeah, and then I would say the rats are the second. So, but I think that with the rats, we could supply a lot more than we already do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're pretty much equal. Yeah.
And with those, the ones in high demand, is that, do you guys ship only in Canada or do you send to the U.S. as well? Or
no, we only ship in Canada.
Okay.
The States, they can pretty much look after themselves when it comes to this kind of a market. They... They have quite a few cricket farms over there.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk more about the actual insects and things, because I know there's, sort of a shortage maybe on a particular cricket, the brown crickets.
Yes, yeah.
And also, before we go, I have to ask you one question.
Sure.
Have you guys ever eaten bugs?
I haven't, but Rob and the boys have.
I knew somebody ate bugs. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Okay, thanks.
Why go anywhere else when you could stay right here for 2011? Enhance your university and campus experience by living in residence and enjoy all-inclusive costs, safety and security, 24/7 support, the convenience of a meal plan, and guaranteed scholarships for high academic achievers. University of Windsor Residence, it's the right choice. Visit us online at uwindsor.ca/residence for more information.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Bugs, 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 we'll put them all in jugs. Gonna dig, dig, dig till the big, big hole is dug, 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 dug. And that would be the end of the bug song.
Okay, we're back with Natalie Litt from Best Bug and Feeders.
Hello.
And that's in Markdale, Ontario.
Yes.
And we've been talking about the company and, you know, who you guys supply and stuff. But what about your suppliers? Where do your supplies actually? Where do you get the supplies you need, like your equipment and so forth?
I guess we get most of our supplies from the co-op, just like a farmer would.
Okay.
We consider ourselves a farm.
Mm-hmm.
We have a farm number, and so yeah, we get our supplies from the co-op.
And let's talk a little bit about the various insects and rodents and things, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about the animals that consume them. But I know many of the bugs you breed, and so I'll kind of go down the list. Maybe you can give us any related info or anything that kind of pops into mind about a certain bug or something.
Sure.
First, let's talk about the crickets and talk about the problem with brown crickets.
They're called Akita domestica is the Latin, the proper name, or when we speak about them, like with the University of Guelph or the zoo, we kind of refer to them as that. They have kind of like they have the same virus that wiped out all the commercial breeders in Europe in the year 2000.
Oh.
And they've just been anticipating it to come over here, and it has. And it's wiped out probably, I'd say, about 75% of the commercial farms in North America.
So will those numbers pick up at some point, or?
No, once the disease is here, do you mean like as far as, will it increase like the percentage as far as the farms that'll be wiped out?
Well, yeah, the will increase the percentage of, say, brown crickets that exist now?
It's a virus that once it hits the farm, you can never produce that cricket there again.
Oh, you can't do it on the farm.
No, you can't. You have to completely start over in a new facility.
Okay.
We've tried everything. Like, we've had the University of Guelph come here and ozone the facility. And just among us, the cricket breeders, we've just come to that conclusion that once you have it, forget it. You have to start in another building. And then there's no guarantee. It's the smallest known virus to man.
Wow.
Have you heard of a parvovirus?
I've heard the name, sure.
Yeah, it's like that. And what it does is it dehydrates the crickets, and they die. It's a gradual deteriorative virus,
mm-hmm.
where first you'll see that your crickets won't grow to past 6 weeks.
Wow.
And then it'll be 4 weeks, and then you can't even hatch your eggs anymore. So now we've introduced a new type of cricket, two new types of crickets that are just starting to be introduced into the business.
Okay. And how do you develop a new cricket?
You crossbreed
or anything like that?
They're there. Like, it's a Jamaican cricket or an African cricket.
Stem cell?
Yeah. Something like that.
Let's move on to mealworms.
Sure.
Are those something you serve at the dinner table? Or?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
A salad?
No.
With a nice dressing?
You're kidding, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, mealworms, yeah, they're just what you buy and, you know, you find in your flour when it's been there for 2 years in your cupboard.
Okay, the really little.
Yeah, they're
small.
Domestic, yeah. And a lot of birds eat those. Yeah, like the Ontario, you know, the bluebirds?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the bluebird breeders buy those for the birds when they, actually right now is the time the bluebirds are coming.
And the Eastern Ontario Bluebird Society is somebody that you supply.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we supply their customers. Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about the super worm? That's not just a regular worm, right? That's a super worm.
It's a super duper worm.
Okay. I'm picturing a blue and red worm with a cape on, but what's the super worm all about?
The big letter S.
No, yeah.
It's just a big worm. And you know what? I don't even know where it comes from. I think it comes from India or something, or
okay.
Africa, somewhere warm, because our barn has to be kept at 84 degrees through like 12 months of the year.
Wow, finicky worm.
Yeah, but they're quite popular in the fish industry, and the safari feeds it to their birds, but also their monkeys. I guess the monkeys love them. It's like a treat for them. Instead of picking like lice off of each other, they pick the super worms off, like
right.
The ground and stuff. Yeah,
nice.
So it entertains them through the winter months.
That's entertaining us right now. It's incredible. So the worms are, you have a pretty large variety of worms. I mean, there's more, tobacco hornworms, butterworms, wax worms. What's a wax worm?
A wax worm is, they're actually native. Like, wax worms are used a lot for fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually the wax moth that they infest beehives, like aviaries. You know, the honey guys.
Yeah.
Aviary. Yeah, mm-hmm. Aviary. So what they do is they infest the beehives. So they're a real nuisance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Butterworms, they're imported from Chile. They're imported. Hornworms, they're like the tomato hornworm.
Okay.
Have you seen those on tomato plants?
I've seen things on tomatoes, but maybe I'm thinking of the some kind of a tomato caterpillar thing.
They're like huge green. You can't.
Okay, then I know what you're talking
they're
about.
They're like a little breakfast sausage.
Yeah, I seem
but
to
green.
Right, I seem to think of them more as not so much a worm, but a caterpillar or something.
Yeah, it's like they're all grubs. Like even the superworms and mealworms, you know, they pupate. They go through metamorphosis.
Sure.
Yeah. So the hornworms, you can't. They're bred. But they're fed, you know, a special diet where there's no poison. Because if you feed the ones that are on the tomato plants, the tomato leaves are poison and then, you know, making the hornworm poison.
Mm-hmm.
So, and silkworms, we buy those from a local breeder. And he brings in the eggs from China.
Wow.
And then he hatches the eggs here and he sells the silkworm.
Do you get some of these yourself from other countries, or do you get them from a supplier who gets them?
We get them from a supplier who gets them. Just the import permits and, you know, yada, yada.
That's a whole other
business. Yeah, I don't even want to get into that. I'm busy enough as it is, you know.
How about flying insects? Do you rear flying insects?
We do like fruit fly cultures.
Okay.
Any other flying insects? No, not really. It would be hard to maintain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The one cricket that we do breed, once they grow to full size, they start flying around.
Right.
So, you know, it's more of a nuisance than anything. So we try to get away from that.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the mice and rats.
Sure.
Do you just have a kind of a standard regular breed of rat and mice, or do you breed more than one kind?
No, we don't breed more than one kind. You know, there's like the Dumble rats, different kinds of blue rats, but we just have a variety of you know, different colored rats. Some of them you can sell as pet rats because they're prettier than the white ones with the red eyes, right?
Do you paint those yourself, or do they come in other colors?
They come in other colors. We do have, we actually have a vet technician that works for us.
Uh-huh.
And she knows a lot about, you know, X and Y chromosomes and whatever. So she plays around with them, and she comes up with some pretty neat breeds, neat colors for rats and mice.
Wow.
Yeah, like you have to have a variety. Like even the mice, you can't just breed, even though the white mice are... They've been genetically modified to, like, pop out 15 babies at a time.
Oh, sure.
You can't just breed white because not everything eats white mice. Like, you have the loggerhead shrike. They're trying to rehabilitate these birds, so mm-hmm. they need the mice, the color of mice that most suits that environment, right?
Right.
Which would be brown or black, right? And so you do have to have a variety.
And I just want to talk a little bit about some of the reptiles, possibly other rodents and things like that, that you supply some of these different insects and bugs and things. What are some of the things that are eating these things? Because you mentioned snakes and other things. What else? Something off the top of my head, the African lion safari, mm-hmm. what kind of stuff would you be supplying them? I would think it's more the rodents than bugs, but what kind of things do they have that would be eating these?
The safari's actually they're the ones that feed the monkeys.
Okay.
The superworm, and they feed the superworms as well to the birds. I guess the birds, they really like them. They do buy a lot of rodents
mm-hmm.
as well, frozen, because we sell the rodents either live or frozen, depending on what that species is used to.
Right. Oh, that's right. Some of these things are frozen. And what do they do with these frozen things? They thaw them out and just throw them around for the animals to eat?
Yeah. They thaw them out. And so, like, if some, like, snake breeders, you never know. Some of them, their snakes are used to frozen. And once a snake is used to eating a frozen rodent, it's very difficult to get it to go back to live, and vice versa.
Hmm.
So once you, and same with snakes, once you start feeding them rats, that's all they'll eat.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you start them off with mice, it's very difficult to change them over to rats.
Pretty neat stuff. Very interesting. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, Natalie.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Let's give out your contact information again.
Sure. 519-986-1996. Or www.bestbugandfeeders.com.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us, and wish you continued success with Best Bug and Feeders.
Thanks, Big Jay.
All right. Thanks for being on the show.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, next time you're at the zoo or a pet store, you can show off to your friends about knowing where the feeders come from. Isn't that something? And next week on the show, Craig Newman of CDN Records, a Canadian label and distributor of black, death, and thrash metal. Maybe we'll even slide in a few tunes next week. And again, thanks for everyone who voted for the award-winning You Talking to Me, this year's Jammies. I'm honored and appreciative, and I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.